of the boat tower at Dunsborough Bridge. Michelle decides she ordered some chocolate milk. So I stopped at a service station and some milk. And I don't think the poor simple country woman would know what I was asking for, and asked for flavored milk, so she gave me flavored in a cup and 2 bottles of milk, which somehow Michelle managed to drop the shoes with her into the caravan and smashed a glass. So the poor family had a pint of milk without flavouring. After the first day was dry, and the hectic all day of little things ready and finalised at home, put it all on. And I found myself that day to a bridge by 8, and all in bed, and asleep by about 9:30. Getting day one. Start day two. Day two, the second morning, first morning at Dadsworth Bridge, we decided not to hang on too long. We had a leisurely breakfast and packed the car and set off. It was a heavy dew and it had been a very, very cold night. We got away from Dadsworth Bridge around about 9 o'clock and set off towards the border. It wasn't long before we found ourselves in very, very heavy fog, which persisted for some 150 kilometres right through towards border town. We stopped for petrol at Dimboola. Petrol prices were still around 49 cents a litre. It took us to almost until the Victorian South Australian border to lose the fog and to get a little bit of warmth, although the wind coming through the hill was still very, very cold. We pressed on towards Keith on the Duke's Highway, midway over Murray Bridge, where we stopped for lunch, bought a few items in the local grocery shop, and had a picnic lunch beside the tennis courts. Because at this stage of the day, something very, very strange happened. It just goes to show you can't let your kids loose in a strange town. But I got bitten by a lion. We stayed around Keith for about an hour for lunch and moved on along the Duke's Highway through Tittenmoor, Kalbarra, Carlton, Kaikai, and Coolindook. It was just before the Mormons Junction that we went to pass a group of four caravans and suddenly discovered that the tarp on the roof had blown loose and ripped all the islets out, which required us to stop a quarter of an hour so we could do a bit of bushcraft outside of the road. We went in through Tarnum Bend and Murray Bridge around about 3 o'clock and onto the South Eastern Freeway to Montabaro, turning off at the near Barker Tunnel towards Moondorf. We stopped for an hour or so at a very, very pleasant little village. Found out with a beautiful little village that, as you know, it's a rather dual chain about it. Most of the village being very beautiful and strong. All the other looking at the beautiful faces has been restricted to the room of the main street. If you were able to say that you were someone passed in, you would advertise it, which you never found. Very restricted on its size and its shape, and a lot of town plan regulation and coordinations were introduced to this town. It would be well worth a return visit to this place to spend a lot more time. We got away from Randolph for around about 4, moving on through I was supposed to go right home through, and so I was very pleasant just look at the calendar in the night. On the empty calendar, we discovered this terrible cottage that we decided to take the kids that they were moving. And sailed towards the Augusta. And there, a short tour around the calendar in the work of Bailey's community, and then we settled ourselves into the caravan park at Toowoomba. This caravan park, the caravan was sold. That's nearly 50 of a mile. I have had an excellent volume, but it was very important. And after setting ourselves in, we had some time to set up the river for about 4 hours. And we used to just go talking about the river for a while. The passes we were seeing previously were in the river, and that is the lake. And we made a big farm called the Montrose. To over the way out of the road here, and for Bama. We turned the caravan through, but put the bottom close together between the other one ready for the work very quickly. I'd mentioned to our two brothers my student draft, which I thought I'd try. We didn't bother with it going this time, huh? At the weather is slowly improving. This morning was a beautiful morning. Still cool, but the sun was coming up more, I think, much quicker than North Melbourne. We managed to get a shower and breakfast and whatever by around 8:30, 8:49, and got some schoolwork organised for January. She wasn't doing Christmas. Today was the right day. We set off for a small cook's tour of Tanander once again, taking in a few of the wires in daylight, down past Ben Castle, Veritas, and a few of the smaller wires, and then we headed out towards Seppelsfield. Look at the mausoleum and the some of the buildings. We decided not to do any tasting, but to devote our time also just to the sites. We headed back towards Toowoomba and down to Stewart Cottage, where we spent the remainder of the morning. Stewart Cottage in Mikey Wood, and we heard about it from our old mates Mike and Mel. We were a little bit hesitant about what we would find inside the gates. However, I would recommend this place to you in passing through it. It has a particular character and charm not found elsewhere. It certainly is something a little bit different. The Wacky Wood in particular is a series of supposedly Australian bush games and activities set up in a very, very rustic manner, where we could spend a lot of time at no cost and a lot of family fun. The cost for working in Stewart Cottage was $2.50 for $1 each for children, a total of $7. I think it was good value. Stewart Cottage also contained a small animal farm, supposedly the only underground rabbit one, and you can actually see rabbits running through their lines. Steerable Cottage is actually a series of nursery rhymes, pantomimes and children's stories in the form of dolls, displays and dioramas. It's really well seen. Earlier that morning we had stopped on the main street of Fernanda to buy some liverwurst at the Wurst House. That's H-A-U-S. However, we only managed to buy some cheesewurst, which did nothing more than give us all a bad breath. And a few other nasty things as well. We moved on from Tanunda, moving around about 12, moved on to Mulupa, and up towards Kapanda, where we stopped for lunch at the local football ground, devoured a large apple strudel cake and cheese wurst and some vinegar loaf. Spending around about an hour, we moved on again then to due north up through Riverton and Penrith towards Clare. We found ourselves once again being into very, very strong winds, which we'd experienced on the second day down on Duke's Highway. The wind was neither ahead of us nor behind us, but coming in bursts from the side, and we were driving very, very hard for the remainder of the afternoon. The sun was absolutely beautiful through the windscreen. We could feel a lot more warmth. We pushed on through Clare. This would be another area we'd like to spend a lot more time in. Unfortunately, we haven't got time at the moment. We saw a lot more areas under on the vine, much more extensively cropped than possibly the Russell area. A lot of the more notable wineries and clear tourist setting animals and one of our standards and one of the larger ones. We moved on from Clare up to moved on through Clare towards small town called Yacka and Georgetown. We stopped at Georgetown for an ice cream. And Bristol, moving on towards Gladstone, and then arming ourselves towards the coast, Port Pirie. As we crossed from Gladstone to Port Pirie, we found ourselves actually crossing over the tip of the tail, possibly the tail of the remarkable chain of mountains, which extends well up towards Port Augusta. The path would be the top of the southern Flinders Ranges. As we crossed over the top of the mountains, out through the Italian Valley, and plus not wanting, winds here were very, very, very strong. We moved in Port Pirie around about 12 o'clock, and bought petrol there. Amazing found petrol on the highway around the 47.9 mark. As we moved into Port Pirie in the town, the petrol moved to 50 cents. It apparently, the line of arms previously run down the center of the road in Port Pirie has now been removed, and the east railway station will relocate to the south of the road highway. We spent a short time in Port Pirie. some of the warfare in. A large Indian ship being loaded with weight. But sure, this time might be more appropriate to move on towards Port Augusta. Instead of having 100 kilometers driving the following day, we moved off. Once again, the wind was very strong. We found ourselves in Port Augusta around about 5 o'clock. And sort of like following a caravan park. Port Augusta appears a little bit cleaner than Port Pirie, and I'm glad we haven't moved on. I found ourselves in a caravan park on the North Shore. This caravan park is called the Shoreline Caravan Park. Something we haven't struck before, though. A very, very nice caravan with reverse cycle air conditioning. $18 a night. Good value once again. First class amenities. The caravan, however, though, is not supplied with any cooking utensils or cutlery or whatever. But these are available free on request from the office. Obviously, to avoid theft. The caravan park here is possibly a half mile to a mile from the railway station, but there's a continuous activity here of trains coming and going to the shunting yard, and a steady drone of diesel engines can be heard all the time. After having tea, we decided to search out the railway station as to avoid any confusion for the following morning, loading the car, etc. And I found the people at the station very cooperative and very helpful. Tomorrow's the big day. We put the car on the train and head off to Springs. I feel as though everything is becoming quite exciting now, and my day is just about to start. It's now about 9 o'clock. Michelle's pretending to be asleep, but I'm not sure she might actually be asleep. Kids are both asleep. I'm not far off myself. My point of interest today is we travelled from Port Pirie to Port Augusta. We're travelling right beside the railway on the north. It was a diesel loco, taking half a dozen flat tops and several goods wagons. We were pasting for quite some distance and disregarding a few slight hills he encountered, which dropped his speed to around 90 kilometres per hour. He was cutting a pretty steady average of 110 kilometres per hour. At times, accelerating. It's also interesting to note the on the flat tops he had several large Ansett carbine units, which would be some 35 feet in length, trailing units from primary. Which were actually wrapped on and tied with sticks and twisted rope into the train. It seems to be a common method of fastening stock onto the flat top. I'm not quite not sure what to do in South Australia and Northern Territory. The rope was a bit different when you're turning off, you have rope on it.
Day 3. Start day 4.